she used to say it off me as well. Yeah, well, she is, but anyway. We'll sing one more for us, praise the Lord, before Pastor comes. Praise the Lord. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Then our Pastor just comes right here and praise the Lord.
Shake hands with whoever's beside you and say, the Lord bless you.
Bless you.
Amen. The Lord grants me to say it for a moment. Praise God. The Lord bless each and every one. I do greet everyone this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God for His mercy and for His grace. And we heard that Sister Catherine's and a wee baby girl, and all's well. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful news?
Amen.
Amen. God answers prayer. And we just thank the Lord for His mercy and for His grace. And Wednesday night, a few weeks ago, Simon came and got saved. And then last Wednesday night, David came and got saved. So we just thank the Lord. Now, these fellas are young, but that's when you want to get them, when they're young. Capture them when they're young. The devil captures people when they're young and gets into their thinking and into their minds. And I'll tell you, I thank God that God can get people when they're young. Praise God. I just want to thank everyone again for your support. There's a few people missing this morning. I know there's a lot of people haven't been too well with sore throats and colds and bugs. And that's Ireland for you, the changing of the weather. And I reckon the snow's on its way. But I won't say it. But it's cold enough for it. I hope maybe it doesn't snow. I don't think anybody wants snow. Who wants snow? Just as a young fella here wants snow. Praise God. You know, probably what will happen, Isaac, is as soon as I get home, it'll snow. But praise God. But you know the one good thing about it? It's a season. It won't last. You know, even if the snow comes, thank God, and we'll go again. Praise God. So we just thank the Lord. Our brother Andrew comes on next Saturday morning, and we're thinking of some people maybe would like a Saturday night service. Who would like a Saturday night service? Praise God. Well, I think that's most people. So then we'll have it. Brother Andrew's happy enough to do a Saturday night service. When you go preaching, you're happy to preach. You're actually, when you do go preaching, you know, the more service is almost the better. It keeps you busy, keeps you occupied. And it's good, you know, because it takes a service to get into things, really. And then that's how it works sometimes. After you find the meetings tend to get better when you have a few of them like that. I think it does anyway. Who agrees? Who thinks it's not?
Yeah.
You know, even if you're a preacher yourself, you find after a few services, the first service is always the hardest service. That's always the hardest service. And if you're preaching, if there's a group of preachers and you have a convention, the man that gets the first meeting, that's the hardest meeting. I don't know why it is, but that's, you know, just how it is. But so then we'll have a Saturday night, all the well, if Brother Mark can get the hall and everything, can let you know Wednesday night. And so Andrew will be here next Sunday, the Lord willing, Saturday, on the two services of Sunday. And Brother Mark's going to be doing the Wednesday nights. Samuel and Gary will be doing the first weekend after that. So that's the weekend after Andrew goes. Then my dad and Brother John will be on the next weekend after that. And then I think I'm back after that. But the time will just go quick. You know, it just goes so quick. We're almost at the end of the year. And just let's pray the Lord will have His way. When I go, I think at the moment, I think there's 15 services would I have to preach between Australia and New Zealand 15, maybe even more than 15, but I think it's at least 15 services at the minute. So I need you to pray for me that the Lord will help me and give us His wisdom. And my main goal is not to take a doctrine, some new doctrine. We do believe in doctrine, obviously, but I mean, I'm going to try and win somebody for the Lord. And try and, you know, pray for people that are sick. And we have saw people healed and saved before, and we just trust the Lord will help us again. When I think of New Zealand, I think of Smith Wigglesworth. And I think it was the time me and John went, there was an old brother there, he was telling us that. He gave us a printout and all. He was telling us when Wigglesworth went to New Zealand, it was absolute revival. And he said they were outside in the hundreds, waiting to get into the service. And while they were outside waiting to get in, a Salvation Army man stood on the step and preached to them when they were waiting for a service. And people got saved outside the meeting, just waiting to get into the meeting. Now that's revival. And definitely encouraged last Sunday night when a brother John preached, their fields are white to harvest. So that's given me a real encouragement that God can do it.
Yes.
And I am willing to go. So now I believe God can do it. So I'm under an expectation. And I'm not saying it'll be, you know, God could do it. I believe God could do it, like it happened with Wigglesworth. I believe God could do it again. If we say He couldn't do it again, then we're admitting God's changed. Well, how can we? God could do it again. I know we're at a different age and all the rest of it, but God's never changed. He's never diminished. Amen. He's no restrictions on Him. You buy a car or a bike, and it says restricted. You have to take her in, you know, take a few wee things out of her to give her a bit of life. But there's no restrictions with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you know, even the song we're singing, the guy said, through the promise was from the Father. Jesus said, I give unto you the promise of the Father that the Holy Ghost will come. Praise God. Amen. Let's stand to our feet while we read the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, very well known portion of scripture. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. And the Lord bless each one. Praise God. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just thank You and praise You this morning that we can come from Thy footstool into Thy very throne room and into Thy very presence because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. We plead the merits of that blood over our lives afresh and over this house and each one in it. We plead the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We say, wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And we shall be whiter than the snow. Purge us, and we shall be the kiss of sacrifice, and we'll praise Thy name. Lord, forgive us of every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Cleanse us, we pray this morning,
Lord,
with Thy blood and the washing of the water of Thy word. Father, help us this morning to see from this great scripture Thy righteousness revealed to us through Christ. Lord, I thank You for the Holy Spirit and the moving of the Spirit. And I take by faith the promised Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ's name. And I thank You undertake for me. Pray again for Sister Catherine. You'll touch her. Pray You'll bless her and bless the wee baby. Bless Brother Nigel. Bless the whole house. Do them good, Lord. And be all they need in Jesus Christ's name. Bless my wife Sharon and all the children. Touch them and heal them, everyone. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we've already been praying for this woman in Germany.
Yes.
Oh God, rid her of this tumor.
Amen.
And heal her, I pray, by the power of God. Bring her through. Oh God, raise her again to strength and health. And we'll give you the praise and all the glory. Now, Father, speak to us. Help us. Bless us and undertake for us. And touch people in this meeting. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Here, this is a wonderful scripture this morning. And the writer here, Paul the Apostle, says, I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now this morning I want us to see why the gospel is so powerful.
Amen.
And I want to say from the very outset of this service, there is a reason in the Bible why the gospel is so powerful. And the gospel has something about it that no other religion or organization or creed or sect can have about it. And that is the righteousness of God. The gospel's power is the righteousness of God. That's what gives the gospel its punch. That's what gives the gospel its power, is the righteousness of God. And the apostle says it, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed.
Yes.
From faith to faith. And it is the righteousness of God we need. We need a revelation of the righteousness of God. We need a realization of the righteousness of God. For we have none of our own. And we know Romans says that the Lord did not impute to us our sins. Romans chapter 4. But he imputed to us his righteousness.
Amen.
And we know that Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. For that's the only thing that will please God, is righteousness. And you have to have righteousness. You can't have righteousness by your own self. But you can have it by faith through the gospel. When you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are receiving the righteousness of God. And when you receive the righteousness of God, you are holy because he's holy. Because he makes you holy. Praise God. The gospel is the power of God. And this righteousness, excuse me. Now we know the gospel is the good news. For in this good news is God's righteousness. It's a God kind of righteousness. Just like an animal bears forth the kind it comes from. It has all the characteristics of that kind. Because it's of that kind. And when you are born again of the Spirit of God, you are a God kind, if you like. So you will bear the characteristics of that kind. That's why Adam was a son of God. He was of that kind. And when Seth came forth to replace Abel that was slew, he was of that kind. And that's why he offered right. That's why he recounted righteous. He brought the sacrifice. That's why your Bible records, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. He was of that kind.
Yes.
Now you must be born again to be off that kind. Because sin took us away from that. And the fall separated us from the righteousness of the holy God. But when you're born again, the Bible says you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. So you become that kind. That kind. And you bear that righteousness. And it's God's righteousness. And you see your own righteousness. You couldn't stand in front of God with your own righteousness. We'd puff on it. God would blow it away. Like the wee woman said to me, oh, you needed saved. Oh, you were a terrible rascal. But sure, what difference was she to me? Was she trying to tell me she'd never sinned or done wrong? Sure she had. My Bible tells me she was born a sinner. My Bible tells me all the righteousness is filthy rags before God. But you see, she didn't need God's righteousness. She had her own. But there's a problem with that. When she meets God, her own won't do.
Amen.
It's only one that God accepts. That's through His Son. We know the word salvation includes within it deliverance, soundness of mind, healing of the body, and every single blessing from God is within God's salvation. And this salvation is because of the righteousness of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 8, verse 28 to 30. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did predestinate, them He also did. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Yeah. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. So when the Lord calls you, He justifies you. When you are justified, it's as though you never done it. That's what it means. Now, if you interpret it any other way, you're not interpreting justified. If you're saying to me, there's a fault with this man, after God's justified him, I won't agree with you. If a person's really justified, it's as though they never done it. That's what the word means. And this justification comes through the gospel. Through the righteousness of God. That's what does it. And then you stand justified before God. What does that mean? That means you can pray. And God will hear you. That means that you have an advocate through the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And you can pray. You can bring your petitions before Him. Now a sinner can pray. But you know I preached it before. There's the mediator and there's the advocate. There's a difference in that. And every man, he's a mediator for all that's going to come. But he's not just our mediator, he's our advocate. He's working for the believer all the time. Praise God. The power of the gospel is the good news. Without this righteousness, there's no good news. You see, these other religions they have, they're without strength. They're without effect. Because you know why they're without strength and without effect? Because their leaders are just men. Their leaders are just mere men. Even if they can prove they're prophets, even if they can prove to you they were special men, that still won't do for me. Because you see, the leader we're following is the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's more than a man. He is God manifested in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. He's more than a man. Therefore, what we have is more than just religion. It is the power of God, Paul says. The power of God. This power can change a life. This power can transform a life. Because of this righteousness of God. Muhammad and Buddha, when they went to the grave, their bodies, you could go and dig them up, they're still there. They never removed from the grave. But Jesus, when He was laid in the tomb, He rose again. He rose again. The tomb could not hold Him. But He broke the bars asunder. And He rose triumphant over the foe. And what else? And He rose up and gave gifts unto man. I like the message that Brother Kidd preached. I listened to it a few weeks ago. You know when he preached about death and all. And he says, you see, when Jesus was laying in the tomb, death said to Mr. Decay, you watch him. Go to work on him. I'll leave you. I'll come back tomorrow and see how you've got on. And he says, Mr. Decay stayed with him. And the next day death came back and he said, well, Mr. Decay, how have you got on? And he says, there's a problem here. There's a problem here. This man's not decaying like other men. Well, all I'm doing, the usual things I do, they're not working. And he said, I'll give you another 24 hours. You come back again the next day, the same again. And on the third day, Jesus rose. Because the psalmist says, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And Jesus never saw corruption.
Amen.
But He rose within 78 hours.
Amen.
Oh, Hallelujah.
Amen.
Mr. Decay, would you go to Buddha's grave? You go to Muhammad's grave. Mr. Decay, I'll have conquered them.
Yes.
Mr. Decay will have overcome them. Oh, you get your regular bones. With worms crawling through it. It's dead. It's bones. There's no life there. But this man, Jesus, offered himself up.
Amen.
Through the eternal spirit.
Amen.
Once for all.
Amen.
That's why this gospel's powerful. Because of this righteousness of God. Christ had no sin. The righteousness is the dynamics of the power of the gospel. We need the righteousness because we're lost without it. We need the revelation of this righteousness. This righteousness is the dynamics of the power of God. Show me a man that could say, I've never sinned. Show me him. I'll show you him. His name's Jesus. But he's the only one I can show you. I can show you a man that had no sin before he fell. And that's Adam. I can show you him. And Adam was born with no sin. Adam wasn't born, actually, like you and me is born. Adam wasn't born of a woman. This is the thing about Adam. He was not born of a woman. So he was not born a sinner. But he was born, not born, God made him from the dust. God breathed into him and he became a living soul. Then, you know, after he fell, then it said, and sin did thy mother conceive thee. That's what the Bible says, all of us, speaking of man and women. And sin did thy mother conceive thee. That's why Jesus, being the seed of the woman that would bruise the head of the serpent. You know, I'm quoting you from Genesis. And you know, a woman had no seed. She had to receive a seed. And Jesus was that seed that God foretold in the book of Genesis that would come, that would bruise the head of the enemy. And Jesus Christ was born of the virgin. And you know, the prophet Brother Branham and other prophets, even in the Bible, says it, a virgin shall conceive. And he says it needs no interpretation. God did it.
Amen.
They wondered at him, how could it be? But God did it. And the Virgin Mary conceived supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says she conceived by the Holy Ghost. And that thing which is born of thee, that holy thing, the Bible says. The child Jesus, the Son of God. God tabernacled in flesh. Without sin. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like Christ's faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. How did they obtain it? Through the righteousness of God. This is my whole message here this morning. The righteousness of God, I want you to see it. This righteousness of God is what does it for us. You see, you could have a book, you could send out rituals, laws. You know, Constantine made the whole, all of them get baptized. But they weren't believers. Because they were baptized in water did not make them Christians.
Yeah, that's the truth.
All they made them was wet devils.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
Ed Biscoe said years and years ago, he said, a baptized saints are the baptized devils. If a person's a devil get in the water, there's still a devil coming out. If they've never received Jesus Christ, water won't save them.
Amen.
There's no power in the water.
Amen.
The power's in the blood.
Amen.
Not the water.
Yes.
I know that, you know, there's people who believe if you're not baptized, you're lost. Now that's not the Bible.
Amen.
Now we believe in water baptism. Sure we do. We believe it's one of the things God's given us. We believe Acts 2:38, repent ye therefore and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But there's a key of giving you. Repent first.
Yes, that's the truth.
Amen. If the person's never repented, they can do what they want, but they're not be saved. They must repent first to be saved.
Amen.
But some people are baptized in water and they say you're not saved until you're baptized. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. And then there's a group of people say you can't get the Holy Spirit till you're baptized. And the Bible doesn't say that either. Because I can show you in the book of Acts. It says we heard them speak with tongues as we did. Then they said, what will forbid them to be baptized, these fellas? For they've already got the Holy Ghost. Book of Acts says it. Oh, I've studied it. I know what I'm preaching about now. But we do believe in water baptism. If you're seeing it, you should get baptized. And don't get baptized in Jesus' name only. And don't get baptized in three titles. Get baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how to do it. Amen.
Amen.
But thank God for it. There has to be a changing. You see, Constantine baptized them and he said they were Christians, but they weren't born again. And you can, you know, you can bring people into the religion or an occult religion if you like. And you can tell them to do this and do this and, you know, certain things. And they can become members, but if they're not born again of the Spirit of God, they're still dead. They're still lost. There has to be a birth. There has to be a revelation of the righteousness of God. And they must come to it by faith through Christ. And Peter says, look at this, what he says. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Not man, but God. You see how he had the revelation. You remember something William Branham said? He said, what revelation did the church start on?
Amen.
Who Jesus was.
Yes. Amen.
He said it started on who Jesus was. That was Peter. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said the Protestant church, the Catholic church says that the rock's Peter. The Protestant church says it's Christ. And he said it's neither. Now we know that Christ is a rock. He's not meaning that. He means it's a revelation of who Christ is the rock. It's no, people say Jesus is a rock, but they're not saved. But they must have a revelation of him. They must accept him. They must receive him to be saved. And he said the revelation the church starts on and ends on. Now you tell me, why is it then that people want to preach a different revelation?
Yes.
That lets you know it's a devil. Doesn't it?
It's
a devil. Sure, it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Brother Branham said, the Holy Spirit will take you to the Word.
Yes. Amen.
He will not deny himself.
Amen.
And he says, if a man's the Holy Spirit, he'll receive the truth. Why is it then they want to bring something else in instead of the truth? Now, last week I said something, and I think maybe some people misunderstood me. I said we don't worship a sign. And we do not. If you believe that we do worship a sign, I feel sorry for you. I believe God needs to do something for you. We do not worship a sign. And I said, Brother Branham is a sign that points you somewhere. It points you to Jesus Christ. Now, who can see that? I can clearly see that.
Amen.
Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord come. He shall turn your heart back.
Yes.
Tell himself. You don't read that. He will point to himself and say, look at me. No. And he will certainly not tell you, preach William Branham. If he does, that will make him false. He couldn't. Peter says, we have received like precious faith through the righteousness of Christ. So I do believe in the sign. Don't you get me wrong. I believe in the sign God sent. I believe it's a super sign. But I don't worship the sign and I won't.
Amen.
But I'm looking where the sign pointed me.
Amen.
And it pointed me to Christ.
Amen.
You see what the sign said? You know what the sign said? It said, I had nothing to do with it. I was only here when he came. I could not do it myself. He's the one who does it. He said, if I ever told you something of myself, it would fail. But if he tells you it, watch what he says.
Yes.
Not what William Branham says. Watch what he says. Yes. Now he used William Branham to say things.
Yes.
But it was God, not the man. And we must look to God. We appreciate the Lord's servant. But I know people, you know, I can see things. I can discern things. But I'm going to tell you what's wrong with a lot of people today. They're listening to too many voices. You're going to listen, brother over here, he preaches one way. Somebody else over here preaches another way. Somebody in this corner is another way. Somebody over here, and there's not one of them the same. Something's wrong now.
Yes.
Because Paul said that, and Brother Branham says, that him and the apostles, never having met, preached the same gospel.
Amen.
He said that.
Amen.
He said, never having met, they preached the same gospel.
Yes.
And they were weary of Paul when they first met him. You know the Bible says that. And then the brothers took them aside and said, now hold on a minute, you want to hear this fella. The miracles are following him. He's preaching Christ.
Yes.
And then they let him come in, but they were weary of him. You know the Bible says that. Now answer this one question. Are we following men or are we following the Lord?
Amen.
People so easily offended, they're gone. Well, they need to listen to Sermon Brian preached when he was here. How many remembers it? Special Forces.
Yes.
He showed us it's not a picnic. God wants men that's going to stand up for him.
Yes.
Not willy lilies blown here and there.
Yes.
But men that'll stand up for him. That'll give up all for Jesus. Not so, you know, there's so much of this. He has offended my wee patty doctrine. Isn't that terrible? So what? But it's true. If we petty doctrines, we need rid of them. They need to be real doctrines.
Yes.
Bible doctrines.
Amen. Amen.
This here's a Bible doctrine. The righteousness of God is a Bible doctrine.
Amen.
This is the doctrine you need. The righteousness of God will keep you. It'll save you. It'll deliver you. It'll heal you. It'll take you to catch it up.
Amen.
That's what it'll do for you. There's other things that won't do that. Oh no, I'll tell you what they'll do. They'll make you a quitter and a splitter. And a fusser and a fighter. Then you can come under that scripture of where the brethren dwell together in unity, God commands a blessing. But there's another one. Where there's war and strife. There's every evil work. That's what the Bible says. They war against one another. They've consumed one off another. Now here's my first thought. And I won't keep this long this morning. The righteousness of God is the mainspring of the power of the gospel. That's why the gospel is so powerful. It's because of the righteousness of God. There's other religions in the world today, but they do not have this righteousness of God. You know, I was with Catholic people last night. They're wonderful people. I love them dearly, and I really mean that. And there's one man I know well, and he's read all the supernatural books of the life story. They're wonderful. He said he's never read nothing about him. He said to me, why has my priest never told us about this? But you see, the thing is, though they're wonderful and they're lovely people and they're very zealous towards God, they go to their place of worship, they're zealous, they're more zealous than a lot of Protestants. But the thing is, you see, their religion has no righteousness. You say, what do you mean? It has no righteousness. Because the priest is continually offering up something he cannot offer up. Because Jesus says this man was offered up once. He's an eternal priest, an eternal priesthood. He never can be offered up again. This is the one time only that pleased God forever. And they're not offering it up. They're not showing it to the people. They're not washing the people with it. It'll clean them. It'll wash them with the water of the word. Preach the gospel, that's what it is. And the poor people sitting in darkness. And you know, don't be too critical on them because they're brought up like that. They're blinded. We need to pray for people like that God will save them. You know, me and my father knew a young man, and God saved him. And boy, here was some change on it. A man by the name of Terry Topler. He said the priest come with a whip to beat him back to the chapel. He told the priest, get your whip and get out. I've got Jesus. I've found a new mediator. I've come in contact with the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. God gloriously saved him. And he married a wee girl, the Brenner people. They said they went one night to the lay-by and they prayed all night for the family. I'm telling you this morning, our brother John said it last week. There's brother, prayed all night, brother. We call ourselves Pentecostals. We can't attend church. Come on now. You say, oh, but what good did it do? I'll tell you what good it did. God saved his dad. God began to move in that man's house. Catholics, God began to save them one after the other. They fell like stones for the Lord. God brought them in. God began to save them. You know, Brother Brian, the preacher, Brian Freeborn was a Catholic. God saved him. Brother John McFadden was an altar boy, Catholic, and God saved him.
Amen.
Two of the good of preachers as we know about. So I tell you, there's hope. You see, the Protestants, you see, they think, I'm a Protestant, I'm all right. Well, I'll tell you what, the Protestants go into the same hell as the unsaved Catholic.
Amen.
The word Protestant won't save you. You have to be born again of the Spirit of the Lord. You have to receive this imputation of God's righteousness. Now, I know I'm preaching to believers, but you let me alone. Even if I'm only practicing, leave me alone. For a reason. Well, do you good to hear the gospel? Do you believe that?
Amen.
Well, this righteousness is of God. In the Old Testament, there's at least 50 references to this righteousness of God. I'm going to read you some of them this morning. You just follow along. Psalm 7, verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. I will praise Him according to His righteousness. Oh, that's why we can worship Him. That's why we can come into the house of the Lord and worship the Lord. Because of His righteousness. It was praising God according to the righteousness. David knew how to praise God. He knew how to praise Him. And we must worship God in spirit and in truth. But we'll never ever worship Him in spirit and in truth until we have the righteousness of God. Born again from above, from out of the dove, from the heavenlies. He goes, see it's your eyes, you've been set free. Aren't you glad you're free? Psalms 24 verse 5 says this. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from God of His salvation. When you get salvation, righteousness comes with it. Not the righteousness of a church, not the righteousness of the pastor or a holy man, but the righteousness of the most holiest, godliest man that ever walked this planet, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. Separate from sinners, undefiled. Holy and harmless. That's how the Bible talks about the Lord Jesus. Now I thank God for all men of God. I thank the Lord for everyone. But they couldn't save me. Only Jesus could. Psalms 31 verse 1 says, in Thee, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness.
Amen.
Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Psalm 71 verse 2. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Cause me to escape, incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Do you agree with me that the psalmist David knew how to pray? Will you agree with me he knew how to touch God? Here's a man that committed adultery. Here's a man that took the wife of a servant. Uriah the Hittite. Did you ever think of it? How he plotted his death? How he told him, now you come on home and, you know, go on down to your house tonight, because he had slept with his wife. The Bible says that David stayed at home and he was nosing over his neighbor's fence. I'll tell you what, if you stay at home and start to nose it, you're in trouble. When you should be in the Lord's work or in the Lord's house, watch out. Yeah. Satan follows it. You know the whole story this morning. All them things David did. But you see, David underestimated. Because you see, this man was like one of them men that Brother Brian preached about. He wasn't just an ordinary servant. This man was dedicated to David. This was a mighty man of war. And he came home and he tried to get him drunk and thought he'd go home and sleep with his wife. Then when the baby's born, they'll think it's his, not David's. Cover his sin up. But he never done it. He stayed at his master's house. Then he says, put him to the front of the battle. And he put him to the front of the battle, let me know he was killed. And David thought his sin was covered, but God sent a prophet to David. And told him the story about the lamb, and somebody had took it. David says, well, we'll fix him. And he says, you're the man.
Yes.
You're the man, David. But you know the Lord forgave him. Then the same Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. Why does it say that? Because David repented. He repented of his sins and God forgave him. He knew he needed the righteousness of God. This is why David could pray. David was a sinner, but he knew he was a sinner. David had fallen short, but he knew he'd fallen short. And he knew he needed to call upon God's righteousness, if none of his own.
Amen.
Then God really writes, he's a man after my own heart. I'll tell you, all of us can fall short. All of us can make mistakes. But Brother Branham said the blood lays there for us. And David shows us that. Deliver me in thy righteousness. And cause me to escape, and incline thine ear unto me and save me. Oh, I'll tell you, if you study the life of David, it's a wonderful thing, you know, the life of David. Maybe sometime we'll preach just all about David and show you. David, you can see Christ right through David's whole life. And I'm not showing you the negative part to say anything bad about David. David's a man after God's own heart. He repented. None of us could point a finger at David. All of us have failed. This is why we need the same righteousness he needed. This is why David's showing us how to pray. This is why David's not saying, look at me, but look at this righteousness of God. It'll save you. It'll deliver you. It'll set you free. We've nothing to offer God. We can't approach God anything we've done. We must approach God for his righteousness, just like moving the mountain. You can't move the mountain with your own thinking. You can't move the mountain by your own intelligence. But you can move the mountain by the faith of God.
Yes.
For if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible when you pray. And the Bible says you can speak to a mountain and it'll go if you have faith to do it. And Jesus says, have the faith of God.
Amen.
You know when he cursed the fig tree and he says, have faith in God. Have the faith of God.
Yeah.
Let the faith of the Lord Jesus, or Jesus, sorry, not David, Jesus said it. You know the scripture in quoting. Have that faith, it'll move the mountain. And just as we have faith, and God can give us a faith, and God can give us a gift of faith, but it's God that gives it. This righteousness is from God.
Yeah.
Listen to this here. God's way that's been made for us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the great privilege that we have to come to Thee first. We cannot come except by Jesus Christ. So therefore we place His name ahead of our prayer. And then we know by His word that you will answer it. For you ask it in His name. No righteousness of our own, nothing that we could possess that we could do, but by grace alone, come asking in Christ's name. This is how Brother Branham prayed. How could he pray any other way? He couldn't. He had to pray through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He couldn't pray any other way. Psalm 71 verse 15 and 16. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all day, for I know not the number thereof. Verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. You can't preach somebody else's. Only the Lord's.
Yes.
These are the words of the Bible.
Yes.
See, David continually mentions God's righteousness, not what he could do or had done, but God's righteousness. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Psalm 41 10. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Look at chapter 46 of Isaiah verse 13. I will bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off. And my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. I will bring near my righteousness. I want to tell you, when the righteousness of God comes near, people get delivered. People get saved. People get set free. But we must do what the psalmist said. Thy righteousness only.
Yes.
A lot of people today think they're preaching a different message from what the apostles preached. They can't.
Amen.
They say we no longer need that. We've moved on. Now when a man tells you that, tell him to tell you what he's moved on to. Here's how I'll start you. Well, I know all the doctrines. I know all of them. I've studied them for years. Know them all. We believe the day we're living in, God does it different now. Well, that's a lie to start there, because the Bible says He never changes. So that's the first one that's wrong. And we haven't went very far, have we? See, the devil, Brother Branham said something that's simple, but it's so profound. Stay behind the Word of God. He says, I never brought you a new Bible. That would have been false. But he said it was all in this Bible. Sure, it was sealed, but it was all in this Bible. And God said at the right time, which was the end time, God would open those seals and show us all these hidden mysteries, but they were in here. Now people get confused for that, but hold it for a moment and think of this one thing. Maybe this will help you. Think of this. The two men that goes on the road to Damascus, who were they? Do you know who they were? Does anybody know who they were? They were the two disciples of the Lord, is that right? Amen? Do you know the story in the Bible? The two men that go on the road to Damascus with the Lord? Were they not two of the Lord's disciples? Did they not know Him? Did they not see the miracles He'd done? Did they not see all the things He did for them while He was here on earth? But my Bible says it was withholden from them. Yet they were traveling with the same man they'd been with for years. And they didn't know. Why was that? Because it was withholden from them. But then when they got to the place, and it says, are you a stranger in these parts? Do you not know what's taking place? And the Bible says, the Lord began from the Old Testament and preached Christ on them. Is that what your Bible says? Mine says it. And they still didn't catch it. I'm telling you this for a reason.
Amen.
By and by the day go, and they said to them, when you agree with us, the day is, you know, coming to the night time, sleep over. And when He broke the bread, they knew it was Him. And their eyes were open. And God But it was withholding, just like they were withholding, until the time God promised. Then when the time God promised, he opened it up. But it was always in there. You could bring a man into the service and preach the gospel to him. Will he get saved the first meeting? He might not. He'd come the 20 times. Why not? When the preacher didn't preach well, that's nonsense. That's absolute nonsense. He could preach the worst sermon in the 20th time and he'd get saved. It's nothing to do with that. It's when God's Spirit opens that man's understanding. That's what does it. It's not because he heard a good sermon he could see him. If that's the case, then all the good sermons people would get saved. Is that right? They don't. That doesn't mean we want to hear rubbish preaching. I don't mean that. But I'm telling you, it's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they go except the Lord sends them? Salvation is based upon righteousness. Isaiah 51 verse 8, and I'm closing in a moment. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Now a brother mentioned last week about the seasons and about the harvest. And a man said to me the other day, he said, isn't that right, Tom, that it says in the last days we won't know the difference in the season? And I says, no, it's not right. That's not in the Bible. The Bible says, while the earth remaineth, there shall be summer and harvest. Is that right? And then here it says in the Psalms, my salvation from generation to generation. So we're now in a new generation, but we can still expect salvation.
Yes.
Just like we still expect the harvest.
Yes.
We can expect salvation because the Word of God says it. Amen. See, people can go down lines and think, well, this is, we have it now for the hour here. We have it for this day. And they figure it out. See, when they get it figured out up here, Brother Branham says it missed it. Says it missed it. It's by revelation.
Yeah.
Stick with the Word. Give it the Word test. The Word test says, from my righteousness from generation to generation. Aren't you glad for that? That means in this, our generation, God can save. Amen. Notice salvation follows righteousness. Isaiah 51 verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, keep my judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Oh, I tell you, I'm going to close. I have loads more I could say, but I'm going to close. I preached on Wednesday night from a very simple scripture. We sang about the woman at the well. The verse says to drink from the water, not the fountain. She says, give me of this water. That's why it's hard to sing wet throat. That's only my opinion. But how many know the Bible said, till if you drink from this water? It can't be a fountain in you till you get it first. Once you get it, then it's in you. Amen. Doesn't that make sense? But I preached Wednesday night. The Lord just gave me this thought Wednesday night. I must needs go through Samaria.
Yes.
I must needs. That was what Jesus said. I have need to go through. And I tell you, when God says I need to go through somewhere, he's not going through for no reason. He's going to do something. And we know that God, the disciples don't go into the way of the Gentiles. He told the disciples that. And then he turns around and says, I must needs go through Samaria. Because there was someone there God had predestined to come. But no religious leader would have picked this woman. She wasn't holy enough or righteous enough. But Jesus had picked her. The Father had picked her. And he diverted him through. together. And she said, the well's deep. Wherewith will you draw? And he said, if you knew who it was you're talking to, you would have asked of me, and I would have given you living water. And you'd never thirst again. She said, you mean to tell me that not up from this well? And I preached, you mind I preached about Jesus being the greatest Bible man. And I told you about Jacob's well. I used Jacob's well in that sermon. And I showed you that Jacob's well. And Jesus says, before Jacob's well, I'm the water. Before the well was made. Greater than Solomon's here. The woman was standing with someone that was before Jacob's well. He was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All things are made by him and for him. There he was. He said, you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. And he says, go and call your husband. She says, I haven't got one. He said, that's right, you've had five. And the one you're now with is not your husband either. And she says, I perceive you're a prophet. He discerned the secrets of her heart. Same as it happened in Genesis 18. When Melchizedek. There he told her life. She says, is this not the very Christ? Is this not the anointed Messiah? That's what she was saying.
Yes, it is.
Is this not the anointed Messiah that the Old Testament said would come? This is the ministry he'll have. She ran into the village, said, come see a man. Told me all things ever I did. I tell you, she drank the living water. She received an imputation of the righteousness of God. I want you to be encouraged this morning. I believe you have received the righteousness of God. It's enough for you. You don't need no other. If you've fallen short, or did someone, come back to the fountain. Come back to the fountain. And it'll cleanse every time. Let's bow our heads this morning. I'm just going to prayer. If you want prayer, just slip your hand up. And every eye's closed, every head's bowed. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you this morning for thy righteousness. Oh Lord, thy righteousness exceeded the righteousness of the Pharisees. Far superior, far greater. Nothing that could point at you. But you were the morning sacrifice. You were the evening sacrifice. You fulfilled the law. You pleased the Holy God. You did the Father's bidding. You prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine. Oh Lord, we know when your righteousness comes in a church, in a meeting, in our homes, the power of God's with it. The transforming power of the gospel's with it. Lord, we read our text, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Oh Father, lead us out to thy power. Lead us to thy righteousness. Cleanse us, our minds, our thinkings. Move in our homes, move in our families. Move in this fellowship by the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh Lord, let thy righteousness be amongst us. For your word says, righteousness exalteth a nation. That's why the nations are falling and decaying. Because they've given up on your holiness and your righteousness. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Oh Father, let thy righteousness be amongst us. We receive by faith thy righteousness. And we thank you for it. We thank you for the power of the blood. Cleansing us from all sin that makes us righteous. Pray for the hands raised this morning. And pray you'll bless them. Pray you'll strengthen them. And pray you'll everything to them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I ask you this morning to bless all those that give to your work. Return unto them a hundredfold, pressed down and running over the top. I thank you for how you've met the needs. I thank you for your provision. I thank you for the clothes on the back, for the breath to breathe, for every good and perfect gift cometh from the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you never change your mind about your word. I thank you for your precious word. Lord, I pray you'll take something from what's been said this morning. And bless thy people, I pray. Now lead us with thy blessing upon us under thy righteousness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you as the brother comes. The dad will be preaching tonight. The Lord bless you. I'll be here tonight and then I'm off tomorrow. And I know you'll be praying for me and I thank you for it. You just pray God will help me to preach what he wants me to preach. And that he'll be exalted. The Lord bless you.
I'm going to pray that God be with you till we meet again.